In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Glory to God in the highest. He is worthy of our praise. Glory to God in the highest, worthy of our praise today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He is worthy of our praise. We need to praise Him, not because He needs it, but because it puts us in an attitude of worship. I'm looking at the second reading that the church gave us yesterday, 1 Corinthians 1:22 to 25. Jews demand signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified. Yes. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Greeks, but to those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God, the cross, is greater and wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God, the cross, is stronger than human wisdom and strength. So I tell you today, we preach Christ and Christ crucified. It might be a stumbling block to people, but you see, this is the reality of God, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. This is God's word to us. The foolishness of the cross, yes, Lord God. The blood that was shed for us, yes, Lord God. The nails that pierced His hands, yes, Lord God. This is the wisdom of God, and this is the strength of God. I tell you, this is reality. But I tell you, as we preach Christ crucified, signs follow. That's what it says in the Bible from the last chapter of Mark. Signs like these shall go with those who preach and believe the gospel. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. So we do not look for signs, but we proclaim Christ Jesus and then pray with people and signs follow. Hallelujah. They follow the what? The preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. So what do we preach, or who do we preach? We preach Christ and Him crucified. That's who we preach. I'm not into wisdom and trying to tickle people's ears. I'm into going right to the heart of the matter, and it is Jesus and Him crucified. We're looking at John 2:13-25. And since the Passover of the Jews was very near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. It's always Jesus going up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem is on Mount Zion. So always up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, doves, as well as the money changers seated there. So this is what he sees. He sees what? Those people that sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. What were these animals for? They were for the sacrifice. But let me tell you, it was more than the sacrifice that they were doing this for. They were doing this for the almighty buck. And what happens? He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen. And he spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of the scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Who said that? Elijah. At this, the Jews answered and said to him, What sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus answered and said to them, Destroy this temple, his body. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. His body, the resurrection, the cross and resurrection. The Jews said, This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had spoken this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word of Jesus that he had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, many began to believe in his name. Why? When they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all. He did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood human nature very well. What does this overthrowing of the money changers and overthrowing of the animals mean to the Pharisees? This is what would take place in a church if someone came into the church with an axe and started to break the altar. This is something that was the last straw, really, in the ministry of Jesus that would bring him to crucifixion. Why? Because everyone believed that the temple was so holy. But it wasn't holy where they were selling. Oh, yes, they were bartering, they were talking, they were screaming, the animals were bleeding, whatever there was. You see, this is what's happening. And Jesus said, No, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it into a den of thieves. This is real. This is real. This act of Jesus caused his death for sure. Because he had overthrown their lovely temple. You might say, why? Why? Because this was sacred to them. Even though nothing was happening but buying and selling and people's hearts were far from God. That's why I won't have people selling chances in the church. I won't have people selling chances in the church. Why? Because we are not into buying and selling. We're into Jesus crucified and Jesus raised from the dead. People say, you know, why don't we have a raffle? We could raise money. If that's the way I have to raise money, I'd rather not have it. People call me up and say, you know, we want to help you with your finances. I said, oh, I have someone who does help me. And they say, who? I say, his name is Jesus. They quickly hang up. But it's true. It's true. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who helps us with our finances. I have to believe that. I'm not going to rely on chances. I'm not going to rely on gambling. I'm going to rely on Jesus. He says, you preach the word, and I will give you all that you need. We've had 4 or 5 snowstorms lately, and our offerings have been very low during those weeks. So I've asked people to make up for the offerings that were weak because we have to pay our bills. So that's what I said. I sent them out a letter stating in a nice way that we need to pay our bills. If you could make up for those 4 or 5 weeks, I'll be very grateful because that's what we need to do in order to pay our bills. We're not going to have raffles and we're not going to have cake sales. We're not going to have anything like that. We're going to raise money the way God wants us to raise money. As the gospel is preached, the money will be coming in. I believe it. I've seen it. I've seen it all my life, and I continue to see it. I'm looking at Luke 18, verse 9. And Jesus spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's the Pharisees. They trusted in themselves. Don't trust in yourself. You know what? It soon comes to an end. So two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector, a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. It's interesting that the Pharisee's not praying to God. He's praying with himself. Is that interesting? I'll read it again. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican. This prayer never reached the ceiling, never mind heaven. Imagine going to God saying, I thank you that I'm not like other men. This guy did not know himself. We are all alike. That's why the Word of God says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican. But he had pride and arrogance that he thought that his goodness, he's going to come into the presence of God. Then he said, I fast twice a week. Isn't that something? I give tithes. Isn't that something? I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, that's good. He should be doing that. But, you know, he's saying, I'm better than this bum that's in the front of the temple. And the publican standing afar off would not even lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful for me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, this publican knew who he was. He knew that he was in the presence of God. He knew that he needed mercy. He knew that without mercy, he could not even raise his eyes. He needed the mercy of God, just like you and just like me. I tell you, don't tell God all that you do, because you'll fail. Tell God how much you need him. Tell Jesus that without him, you cannot even breathe. Tell Jesus that you are completely dependent upon God. Completely dependent upon his Son. Completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. When we're in the presence of God, we realize that we are nothing, and God is everything. We plead for mercy, yes, and mercy will be given. Mercy will be given. But we don't tell God all that I do. It doesn't matter what I do. What I do is what I'm supposed to do. It's what the servant is called to do. It's not something extra. It's something that I have been called to do. So why should I brag about what I've been called to do? You see, the humble get the attention of God. Blessed are the pure in spirit. This is the kingdom of heaven. The humble get God's attention. We're attention. We're nothing as compared to the great and awesome Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But God has called us to be his own children, that whoever believes in Jesus might not perish, but have eternal life and be the children of God, for we have placed our hope in Jesus Christ. The next part is Jesus receives children. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. The disciples said, get away from the master. He's too busy to have you have him touch these little children. Get away. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter into it. You see, Jesus wanted the little children. He wanted to bless the little children. But the disciples said, this is a pain in the neck. You know, you go to the Holy Land and you find this is a thing that happens. When you bust lands, all the little children come, and they want to be begging. They're looking to sell their goods, and it gets to be a hassle. It gets to be a hassle. So the disciples said, stop these people from coming unto Jesus. Stop them. And Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And other people believe that because he says that, let them come unto me in baptism, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Don't wait for them to become old. Wait, no. Let them come to me in baptism, and let that grace grow in them through faith in the family. You see, somebody asked me yesterday, how do we get our children to come to Mass? And I answered by looking at Ryan and Natasha. They have a beautiful baby, Rosalind. I said, this is how. You bring the kids to church the very week that they're born, and you bring them every single week, and they will want to be there eventually. I remember Jamie and Andrew, they had several children. After the birth, they would all be in the front row or the second row, and the children would be there, the babies would be there, the infants would be there. I remember Colby, who's now graduated, and Colby loved the Eucharist. He used to weep to receive Jesus. Now, he knew it was Jesus. He knew it was Jesus, and he used to weep to receive Jesus. I want Jesus. So finally, we gave him Holy Communion before he was seven. Why? Because the document says when the child knows bread from the Lord, you should give the child the Eucharist. Well, we gave the child the Eucharist, and he was happy. He was happy. It's what the document says about Holy Communion. We're going into the rich young ruler. Verse 18, chapter 18. And a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? None is good save that is God, that Father alone is good. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And by the way, the honoring of the father or the mother produces a long life, the scripture says. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth up until now. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and then come and follow me, for you'll have treasure in heaven. Another translation says, might be Luke, Jesus looked at him with love and said, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. Jesus looked at him with love. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The rich man thinking that his heart is in the money and in his riches. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said unto them, The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Yes, even rich people can enter the kingdom of heaven as they bow low their hearts to Jesus. As they bow low their hearts to Jesus, even the rich can enter the kingdom of God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and we have followed you. And he said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brothers, or sisters, or wives, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, everlasting life. I think Luke says, the one that has left mother, or father, or homes, or lands, shall receive more mothers, homes, and lands, but not fathers, because there's one father, and eternal life in the kingdom of God. Yes, the yes. This is real. Where is our heart? Where is our heart? My heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, Abba, my heart is yours. I want to live for you. I want to love you. I want to live for your son. I want to love your son. I want to live for your people. I want to love them as you love them, as you send them to me. I love you, Lord. I want my heart to be with you, not in my riches. And I tell you, one way to make sure that your heart is not in your money is to tithe your money, that you give at least 10% to the Lord. That's one way to believe that your heart is not where your treasure is, but your heart is where Jesus is in heaven. Then he took unto him the 12. This is interesting. He took unto him the 12, the apostles, and said unto them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. Remember, always going up to Jerusalem. It's on Mount Zion. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. And he shall be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. He shall be mocked. He shall be spitefully entreated. He shall be spit upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And on the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. In other words, they had no idea what Jesus was talking about. They had no idea. It was hidden from them. But they'll remember after the resurrection that Jesus said that he would be going into Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem, and that he would be rejected by the elders. He'd be rejected by the Gentiles. He would be scourged and spit upon. And on the third day, he would rise from the dead. Remember with the transfiguration, they wanted to know, what does it mean to rise from the dead? I tell you, what it means is what it says, to rise from the dead, to rise from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. We are now in Lent, and you're going to be hearing many things on the television and in newspapers and in magazines about Jesus, that he's not the one that the church believes he is. It's always about Jesus during Lent and during Advent that they throw these terrible things that are not true about Jesus. Stick to the scriptures. These lies that are coming are just lies so that you will not put your faith in Jesus. Let me just tell you another thing. They don't talk about any other religious leader. They don't talk about Buddha, who said, I still seek the truth, on his deathbed. Jesus said, I am the truth. They don't talk about Mohammed. No, they talk about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Very interesting, you know. You can see how wonderful Jesus is by how his enemies treat him. They are going to say the just opposite of who he is. Oh, they'll say that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and we found his tomb. Yeah, the only tomb they found is empty. It's empty. Jesus is raised from the dead. There's only one empty tomb, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is worthy to be believed. He is worthy that we give our whole life to him. He is worthy that we make him our only hope. He is worthy. Why is he worthy? Because he mounted the cross out of love for you and out of love for me, and he endured the persecution and endured what it meant to carry our sins. And when he had finished carrying our sins, he said, it is finished. He is a live sacrifice. And then he gave up his spirit. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Not God the Father. She's not the mother of God the Father. She's the mother of God the Son. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. The address is simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128, or by PayPal, inseason.net. May the Lord bless you and fill you with his grace today. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.